Minnesota Public Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Fitzgerald Theater on Exchange Street in downtown St. Paul, just four blocks from the state capitol, for this evening's forum discussion of the proposed budget for the state of Minnesota. I'm Will Hadland, Vice President of Public Affairs for Minnesota Public Radio. In addition to the people attending here in the Fitzgerald, tonight's forum is being broadcast over Minnesota Public Radio's 14 news and information stations, reaching over 90% of the people of Minnesota. We are also live streaming the sound and pictures of this program worldwide on the internet at www.mpr.org. The program will be archived and available to schools and citizens alike for future study and discussion. Minnesota is blessed with many viewpoints and ideas on how to govern our state. We have the most diverse state government in the nation with a Reform Party governor, a Democrat-controlled Senate, and a Republican-controlled House of Representatives. What better place to discuss the diversity of these issues than on radio, since radio is inherently a media of ideas. The images sent over our airwaves are thoughts, words, and concepts. Since NPR is a non-commercial public radio network, tonight's broadcast will not have any commercial interruptions. As the state's largest broadcast journalism organization, we are proud of our reputation for fairness. As a public radio network, NPR is also proud of its reputation for civility. We understand and acknowledge this budget has controversial concepts proposed by the governor, which impact public broadcasting in this state. Some of those concepts involve this organization. With that in mind, I want to thank the governor for agreeing to this format in tonight's discussion, as well as thanking Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe and House Speaker Steve Swigum for their presence here tonight. It's my pleasure to turn tonight's forum over to someone who is known for his journalistic fairness as well as his experience, the host of NPR's midday program, Gary Eichten.
Thank you, Will. Good evening, everybody. This evening, in the finest public radio tradition, we are going to talk about numbers. Lots of numbers. Pages and pages of numbers. Documents full of little baby numbers. How about that for an audience buildup, huh? Don't shut your radio off, though. I think it's going to be a pretty good discussion. We are going to be talking about numbers, no question about it. But numbers is a concrete expression of what these three Minnesota leaders hope to accomplish in the next couple of years. When you think about it, really, a budget is a statement of priorities. And with Governor Jesse Ventura now with his first state budget, we've gotten together tonight to take a closer look at the governor's budget, namely his priorities, and see how they compare with the priorities of Minnesota's top legislative leaders. Reform Governor Jesse Ventura is here, longtime DFL Senate Majority Leader Roger Moe is here, and the new Republican Speaker of the Minnesota House, Steve Swigum, is with us as well. They're going to be outlining their vision for the state. Hopefully, they'll have a little give and take, a few comments among themselves, and they'll be responding to your questions as well. Now, the basic roadmap, first of all, each gentleman will have a couple of minutes to make an opening statement about the budget. And again, hopefully they'll have a few comments for each other. I will have a few questions to add to the mix, and then we'll be opening it up for your questions. Those of you here in the theater, very easy to get your questions in. We have four reporters. We call them our Oprahs. They'll be stationed around, two on each side. And all you have to do is raise your hand, and they'll come to you with your microphone, and so you'll be able to get your questions in. If you're following the forum online, we're netcasting live pictures from the Fitzgerald. You can also email a question or comment. Our online address, again, is mpr.org. Annie Feit here will pass your questions on that are emailed in, and I'll add them to the mix. Our forum runs for 90 minutes, but we will have a little break at 8 o'clock, so you get a chance to stretch and catch your breath. That's the basic game plan. Before we start, we are declaring the Fitzgerald Theater tonight a jargon-free zone. So we'll try to avoid all the jargon, and while we are going to be talking about numbers, hopefully we can avoid drowning in numbers. So we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be fun. Governor, you want to start?
Sure. Thank you,
Jerry. Comments on your budget?
Okay. The first thing I'll talk about is how we came about to the budget. And, you know, when we met, it is an interesting thing when you first become governor, because you're hit right out of the get-go with probably the most important document of the state of Minnesota, and initially you have about 7 weeks to put this together. And I want to compliment the people in finance as well as my people in revenue, and Fitz from the University of Minnesota, and Pam Wheelock, my new commissioner of finance, for a job outstanding. And what we did was we wanted to put together our goals, and we wanted to put together guidelines that we went by. And I can tell you now that no special interest groups or no lobbyists had any control during our budget process whatsoever. They were never discussed, never dealt with at all. And we wanted to be fiscally conservative and prudent. We wanted to never forget that it's the people's money. We wanted to do what was necessary, not necessarily what's nice. There's a difference. We wanted to do the right things, do them well, and we wanted to provide incentives for desirable behavior. We believe a lot in competition. And on the budget, we wanted to provide tax relief, letting people keep more of their money. We wanted to ensure an investment in education, both K through 12 as well as higher ed. We wanted to invest the tobacco lawsuit funds wisely, because this is not budget surplus. This is the result of court action. And we felt that as stewards of the people's money, we think that the investments we can make as government in the long run will pay off tremendously to the people, having never touching the principal. The principal of that money will always be there. We will only spend the interest off of that principal. We wanted to invest also in technology to improve services to the citizens. We feel that the government has lagged behind in some aspects of technology. We wanted to make limited investments to improve communities, as well as to continue to use reform in state government. And I think it's very clear that there was reform in this budget, because it came in with a very good centrist attitude, which is reform in itself. You've got 15% on the hardcore left, 15% on the hardcore right, and then you've got about 70% of us in there that I kind of label as more centrist. We realize there's a place for government, but we realize that we shouldn't be expanding government's role in our lives necessarily. And that's the attitude we came in with this budget. I'm very proud of this budget because of the fact that the limited time that you have to put it together, I think I want to commend the people that worked on it for doing a remarkable job. And I stand behind it and didn't lose any sleep over it, and still don't today. Thank you, Gary. Right on 3 minutes. That's a pro for you.
That's remarkable. Senator Moe?
On behalf of the Senate, I want to thank the sponsors of this forum tonight for this opportunity to be here and to appear with Governor Ventura and Speaker Sviggum. Opportunities for civil discourse such as this one are the very basic and important part of our society's value system. Our commitment in Minnesota to thoroughly debate the issues of the day is a cornerstone of what makes our state great. Thank you also goes to Minnesota Public Radio and its listeners for your keen interest in this forum tonight. If my perceptions are on target, Governor Ventura will see much of his budget plan, tax rebate, and permanent tax reductions passed by the Minnesota Senate. To borrow a line from the governor, I hope we can arrive at consensus without, quote, ruffling our feathers and kicking the dirt like all the little banty roosters on my farm. Speaker Sviggum is a farmer, and I believe he's already actively considering banning banty roosters from the House floor, if I'm not mistaken. I want to explain why most of the Ventura plan has such a good chance of passing in the Minnesota Senate. We want to target the tax rebate and permanent tax relief towards mainstream Minnesotans. That's why we are on the same page as the governor. We share his priorities. We like the sales tax rebate plan. Sales tax rebate is fair. It reaches most of the taxpayers who contributed to the state budget surplus. These tax dollars will go entirely to Minnesotans. And of course, making it increasingly attractive is the notion of hopefully avoiding paying federal tax on it. We also believe that the minimums per individual and the maximums per household as proposed by the governor are fair and reasonable. Now, though our approaches differ slightly, Governor Ventura and the Senate are on the same wavelength when it comes to the decision not to spend the tobacco settlement's one-time revenue. By setting the money aside, we can hold accountable these entities responsible for bringing down smoking rates. The trust funds envisioned by Governor Ventura and the Senate constitute a major public health initiative. Instead of spending it, these trust funds will most certainly reduce our future costs of government and enhance our state's productivity for many years to come. Let me remind everybody that these are one-time funds. They should not be built into the budget either on the tax or the spending side. That's 22% of the overall settlement that was reached by the Attorney General Humphrey in his win with the tobacco interests. We agree on his priorities of making public education and technology high priorities, along with the transportation needs. Now, there are a few areas that we do disagree. Certainly, we don't think there's adequate resources for the farm problems that we face today. Also have a disagreement on whether or not we should borrow $400 million. But those are things that we'll be able to work out in the weeks and months to come. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Thanks, Senator Moe. House Speaker Steve Sweggum. Steve.
Well, thank you, Gary. And from the House, also, I'd like to thank you and NPR for this opportunity, and I really do consider it that. You know, it's important to recognize that here tonight, in a very cordial way, we're going to share some thoughts, some visions for Minnesota into the future. And we're going to do it in a cooperative way that I don't think could take place out in Washington, D.C. right now. And I think that that's important. I think it's important to recognize Minnesota for what it is and the balance that you, all the good citizens of the state, have brought to Minnesota government. That in itself, I think, is very, very important to recognize. As I look ahead towards this legislative session, I'd like to start at the end and work back. And if we could start at the end and have May 17th, which is Sutton of Mai, Roger, you and I know about Sutton of Mai, the last day of the scheduled to be scheduled during the legislative session, if we could look at the radio broadcasts and the TV headlines and the newspaper headlines in Sutton of Mai, and it were to read, legislature and governor agree on permanent and significant tax cuts for working Minnesota families, enhance the educational opportunities of our children, and pass a limited initiative and referendum to enhance the rights of all citizens in the state to take part in their government, I think that we would have a very successful session. And looking backwards from the end of May, May 17th, that's what I would like to see come through in those headlines. I'd like to make sure that tax cut is significant. Minnesotans are overtaxed, without question. We need to reduce those burdens. We need to reduce the burdens in the area of reducing the income tax rates across the board, which are the second highest in this of all tax rates in this country. We should look at eliminating the sick tax, the provider tax. We should look at eliminating the very unfair marriage penalty that exists. I think those are very, very important things that we address during the legislative session. Enhancing the educational opportunities of our children, putting some money on the formula to address the disparity that exists between the very high spending districts in the state and the very low spending districts, putting some money, Governor, to reduce class size has our support, and we're going to be there with you. In fact, to Roger and to Governor Ventura, I also believe, Roger, that cooperatively we can work through this legislative session. There are differences for sure. And we can talk about the tobacco settlement. We can talk about the cash Devani. We can talk about other issues that are there. But we will work through it. I guess in total, the budget, Governor, I thought maybe the spending might be a little bit too high. Certainly it's going to be a ceiling for us. 12.2% is what we figured. It's a little bit more than the House would certainly have in its bill, and a little bit too little in tax cuts for the working families. But other than that, we'll be able to work with you.
Any comments before we get started with questions?
Nope, I'm fine.
Let's talk tax rebates then. Sales tax or income tax? House Tax Committee today went for income tax rebate. Governor's proposed sales tax rebate. Presumably, Minnesotans are going to get money back in one form or another. Does it make much difference which form it takes?
I think it does, because in an income tax rebate, you're going to hit probably 300,000 less families in Minnesota that have participated through the sales tax. And if we go back to 1991, when there was a deficit, that deficit was made up for by a raise in the sales tax. Now, to me, it only stands to reason that if that's what the mechanism used to get rid of the deficit, then now that there's a surplus, the same mechanism should apply, that it should come back in a sales tax rebate again to the citizens of Minnesota. It will hit more Minnesota families. It will hit the many people who are participating, like senior citizens that are on Social Security and don't have an income on an income tax rebate. They will get nothing. And on farmers, certain farmers out there, not all of them, there are successful farmers out there that aren't being pinched right now, but there certainly are farmers that are not going to have an income this year, but yet they're still purchasing equipment, they're still buying goods and services and participating in a sales tax with the state. They likewise will get zero and will have to be dealt with on the reverse side by subsidizing through the budget. And I just think that the sales tax rebate is the smarter way to go. According to Matt Smith, who's the head of revenue, he doesn't see a problem with it because the way it's worded by the federal IRS is that if you can't deduct it, you can't tax it. We don't deduct sales tax. Therefore, using their own principles, you can't tax it then. And the final point is that it will hit only Minnesotans living in Minnesota, where an income tax rebate, you're going to have a lot of very wealthy professional athletes who don't make their home in Minnesota will be eligible for some real nice rebate money that they're not Minnesotans, and I'd just like to keep it all in Minnesota if I could.
Speaker Swigum, sounds good.
Gary, there certainly is some loss of information and facts maybe along the way that need to be pointed out. The first question is the size of the rebate. The size of the rebate is extremely crucial. The three different groups up here today have a great difference in the size of the rebate that's going to go back to the people of the state of Minnesota. Our House plan sends back $1.1 billion, that's with a B, to the working families of the state. The Senate and the governor's plan has $600 million, about one half of the total amount of dollars that are going to go back to the people of the state. Very important.
Is there cigarette money in that?
There's tobacco money in
yeah.
In our bill.
Well, yeah. Okay, but then that's not surplus. Let's be clear on that.
That's not
surplus.
Okay, Governor, I thank you very much. I tried not to interrupt you. I apologize. Governor, it is money that
he told us to.
It is money that is in the general fund, Governor. It is surplus. It was reported on the first day of the legislative session as part of the $1.5 billion surplus. In addition, the House bill passed today, rebating the dollars back to the working families of the state, gets checks back to 150,000 more individuals than Governor Ventura's sales tax plan. And most importantly, out of those 1.9 million people, Minnesotans, that are going to get checks back, two-thirds of them will not be subject to any federal tax at all. If individuals happen to be non-itemizers, and two-thirds of Minnesotans are non-itemizers, they will not be subject to any federal tax whatsoever. The question then gets to be not only the size of the rebate, but to whom it gets back to in the most fair way. Now, I understand fairness is always defined upon where you're sitting or where you happen to be standing at a certain time. I recognize that. But it does seem to be fair to give back dollars somewhat in relationship to those that paid it in.
Senator Moe, where
which,
did you come down?
Which means people like that make a million and a half a million will get back like $7,500, right?
Governor, the maximum rebate in our plan per individual is $3,800
per family. Oh, you've changed it then.
No.
Because the last one I saw, Roger, help me. I think the last one I saw had
$7,400. Governor, you're right on. Governor?
Well, Stephen, I'll accept that. I just haven't seen this new plan yet, so I have to claim a bit of ignorance because this is not the plan that was sent over to my desk earlier. Now, if the House Republicans have changed that, I will be happy to listen to those changes, but I was unaware of those changes, as was Senator Moe, I don't think. So this is new to us tonight, which I commend them for being new and innovative.
Governor, the important thing is to listen before you interrupt. The important thing. I said the maximum rebate per individual is $3,800. That means per family, $7,600.
Okay.
Remember, you didn't quite let me finish the sentence.
No.
It's growing.
Okay. The governor says tobacco money, set that aside. You would include it.
Absolutely, Gary.
And Senator Moe, you are in favor of setting the tobacco money aside too, but then you also want to use $400 million for to pay for capital bonding projects, correct? Capital projects rather than bond for them, and that's a point of discussion.
Yes, that is a point of discussion. Let me just say that I believe that we can collectively work together to reach the $1 billion. Rebate at the end of the fiscal year. I think that there's no question there is the money in the bank, which is what I think the operative phrase here is all about. The issue on the tobacco settlement, and let me distinguish between the one-time tobacco settlement and the ongoing annual payments. What the Senate is talking about is the one-time front-end loaded payments that Minnesota gets, which I think distinguishes Minnesota from the other states. In the first 4 years of the payment, I believe the state gets about $1.3 billion of one-time tobacco settlement. We're suggesting that that one-time tobacco settlement be set aside, it not be built into the expenditure side of the budget, nor should it be given back in rebates or built into permanent tax cuts. It should be set aside, targeted towards prevention of smoking, educational efforts relating to keeping kids from smoking, health research and technologies. These are the areas that Minnesota's very strong in. We have outstanding healthcare facilities, research facilities, biotechnology companies, healthcare providers. We think that by putting this money aside in endowments, we can take an outstanding characteristic of Minnesota and make it even better and address the issue of keeping kids from smoking. So the ongoing tobacco settlement, that's a debate that we will have within the context of the overall budget. But we believe that you can set the tobacco money aside and that you can not change the law that was passed last year. Last year, we did agree that we would take a part of the general fund and use it to pay cash for public works projects or the bonding bill. So we used $400 million of general fund to pay for public works initiatives. And the administration is suggesting that we change that. I do want to point out that that issue has already been voted down in the House, so that I think gives an indication that the House is not particularly eager to do that as well. But we can still not borrow money for a rebate or borrow money for a spending increase, and we can set aside the tobacco settlement, and we can still meet the governor's threshold of $1 billion for the one-time rebate. And let me just say, I believe that the Senate, and I don't want to be too presumptuous to say that I speak for everybody in the Senate, but the sales tax rebate plan, as outlined by the administration, seems to be the one that has the most appeal in the Senate because it does, in fact, focus most of those resources towards middle-income families. It gets to a broader array of families, and we think the caps, both in terms of the maximum per household and the minimums per individual, are reasonable. The only thing we would use this medium to do tonight, and that is that if the sales tax rebate plan is passed, we would ask that you help, because I think there are a number of senior citizens that probably didn't file a 97 tax form, and that's going to be the triggering mechanism, so we would want to have an aggressive outreach to make sure that all seniors have filed that 97 tax form so that they can qualify for this rebate.
I'd like to say, you know, that with the senator in mind, that we do have a little philosophical difference on the bonding, because as he calls it, we're going to relieve bonding to give back a rebate. We're going to borrow to rebate. Well, my philosophical difference of that is this was surplus money to begin with. So what happened was they took surplus money to bond. And that's the philosophical difference Senator Moe and I have, because I don't believe that you should take surplus money and create a bonding bill. I believe that a bonding bill is what it is. You bond and you borrow to make capital improvements which cover, you know, anywhere from 20, 25, 30 years down the road. I think it's unfair to take 1 or 2 years of taxpayers and have them pay completely for capital improvements that many people are going to benefit from for 20 and 25 years. And that is in essence what happened. A year ago, they took $500 million of surplus money and paid off bonding. Now, this year, they want to take $400 million more of what was surplus money and pay off bonding again. If you're going to bond, bond. That's why you bond, is to spread that payment out equitably to a group of citizens that cover, you know, 20 or 25 years of what a capital improvement bond does. So that is the reason that I want to separate this. The fact that it was voted down in the House, well, that was a bill to separate the bonding from the entire package. I prefer to keep the entire package together as I submitted it, and there is another bill waiting to be voted on in the House which will keep that package all intact as one movement rather than separating the two aside.
Gary, what both Senator Moe and Governor Ventura have explained are tax rebate plans that in effect are about one half of what the House will pass on Thursday of this week, one half of the dollars going back to the citizens, working families of the state. Senator Moe has $600 million in his tax bill to pay for a $1 billion tax rebate. That means either he is going to use the Senate is going to use the February forecast, or worse yet, push it in the next biennium and use surplus dollars from the next biennium for this year's rebate. We won't allow that to happen in the House. And unfortunately, Governor Ventura's dollars that he was going to pay with the rebate for, the cash to bonding, went down on the House floor last Thursday. I did vote for it. I did support it, as did 66 of my other colleagues, but it did not pass. So there's big holes there. Now, to the question of the tobacco dollars, I would tell you this very quickly. First off, the tobacco settlement came forward into Minnesota and provided $202 million already for cessation, prevention, and research programs to help kids stop smoking. $202 million. And it just, and that money, by the way, is going to a group called MPAT, Minnesota Partnership for Action Against Tobacco. It just seems to me, being prudent and having some common sense, that you see what you're going to get, what results you're going to get, what programs you're going to get for $202 million. That's a big chunk of change before you put hundreds of millions of dollars more into an endowment. But probably more importantly than that is the lawsuit itself and the words of the lawsuit, which I reread just this afternoon. Rereading those words, the words on the second page of the lawsuit that was brought forward by the state said, the premise of the lawsuit is, and it used the word premise. It goes on to say Minnesotans had overpaid, GAMC, general assistance, medical assistance, whatever. If the premise is a lawsuit, it was Minnesotans had overpaid, we get a settlement. It just seems to me, again, to make common sense that the dollars go back to the premise. It goes back to Minnesotans who had overpaid.
Well, let me state on the tobacco lawsuit money, in my plan, the principle of that money will always be there. It's not going to be touched at all. So at any time in future days, if we decide we want to pay off a bonding bill with it, if we want to give it back, this lawsuit money from smoking, we can do that. It's not there. And I guess I'm the one, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, you're up to about 1.5 or 1.6 billion, right? So that would include bonding then, wouldn't it?
No. Governor Ventura, our plan that passed out of the House today is 1.1 billion. $1 billion for a rebate to all the working families in the state of Minnesota, yeah. 150,000 more people than would get under your sales tax rebate.
How?
And then
how do you do that with an income tax?
Then $80 million for the farmers in the state of Minnesota to help that crush.
Right. Tell me how you do that with an income tax rebate.
Okay, there are 1.9 million Minnesotans who filed income tax in 1997. Okay. It's 1.9. There were 1.65 that filed the property tax refund that triggers your rebate. You know, the difference is the number of more people that are going to get rebates under our plan than your plan.
Mine's based on income tax filings, so mine would fall under the same as yours.
You're based on the property tax filings.
No, not property tax, income tax.
They had to file the property tax. In fact, Roger was just referring to that earlier about reaching out to those folks.
Why do I feel like the referee here today?
Better you than me, Senator.
Well, that's because they put you in the middle tonight.
That's it. Let me
just a quick comment, then I want to get to some questions.
Okay, I do want to make a couple of comments about the tobacco settlement. Steve, with all due respect, the tobacco industry, that's exactly what they want you to do, is to give back a rebate of about $210 per person, because then there is no effort going into the prevention of smoking for children. Not to mention the fact that both the administration in Washington and the Congress in Washington is looking at how states deal with these tobacco settlements.
That's right.
And if we do something like that, or spend it on fixing the sidewalks or whatever the case may be, then I think the Congress is going to look very seriously at trying to get a piece of that action. And the way the governor has structured it, and I might add the way the Senate has structured it, which is to set it aside an endowment, it's not going to be spent. And if we don't reach the measurable goals that we set out, then it would be there for the future. So we beg to differ with you, Steve, in terms of that prevention money. That it is not there if you take and give everybody a rebate. There is cessation money and some research money, yes. This is very important, and I think a very critical issue for this state. We have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here to do something that is going to have lasting effect for generations to come. I certainly hope we don't blow it by giving everybody a check for $210. As nice as that sounds and as much fun as that might be, it's really not going to have the lasting impact that these endowments will have.